I
as
did
it's
a.
harder to fabricate a blue turtle in reality. I said, as it's harder to fabricate.
Yeah, but you'd be amazed what happens. I focused once on a, what was it? A blue rose. And the next day, after this experience of focusing on the blue rose, just letting it go, the next day, my wife came into my office. This was in California. And as we were talking, she mentioned a girlfriend of hers was talking, and she just brought this out of the blue. She was just talking to a girlfriend of hers whose boyfriend always gave his mother, on her birthday, what did he have? He gave her a green rose and a blue rose. And he had them colored specially because they matched her eyes. Okay? She had one green eye and one blue eye. And he had the roses colored specially. She just brought this up out of the blue. And there was my blue rose in that little story. Okay? So don't knock it. You don't know how it might come about. Yes.
So what you're saying about this exercise, that if we want something to come into our life, that we can perceive it and
focus on it.
Focus on it, and then we expect.
That's right.
To find it.
And the more you are able to focus on it without, you know, with intent, with desire, sure, without doubt or strain, the more easily it manifests.
Okay. Anything.
Anything. When I come back again next time, I'll be doing a workshop specifically on manifesting. What's it called? Money?
Money
Mastery.
Money Mastery.
Mastery.
Yeah.
Right.
When is that?
That's at the end of the month.
Okay.
But yes, you know, that's one of the basic secrets of it. So they give you some information, some ideas about that. Now, as our we're getting into our closing session here. Let's talk about psychokinesis. Moving matter with the mind. Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Come on. You're going to do it.
We tried it last night.
Oh, you did, huh? Okay.
You know, I've done so many things today I didn't think I'd ever do.
That's right.
Thank you.
All right, we'll learn about it. Psychokinesis, when we're moving matter with the mind, what you're actually doing is moving energy with the mind, and the energy is moving matter. That's our ability. The direction of our attention, we have one of the HUNA principles that says energy flows where attention goes. Well, you learn how to direct your attention with strong focus. And if you already have built up a lot of energy, then when you direct your focus, all of that energy travels along the line of your attention and it will affect matter. Now, very often this will happen it often happens spontaneously. It's not as often that people are able to control it consciously. Now, if we had some copper nails or silver spoons, why we'd be able to
Does
bend those things?
Does metal work best?
In what?
For
as far as bending?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I was thinking moving, like getting an object.
Oh, not necessarily, no.
Okay.
No. What's most important is the focus and the amount of energy. Metal has particular effects. You can bend spoons and... Has anybody here ever done that?
No, I've seen it done.
Okay. It's easy to do. And it's better done in a group because there's more energy in a group. Everybody helps to amplify the energy when it's done in a group. It's more difficult to do alone. It takes a lot more focus and a lot more energy to do it alone. It's easier to do in a group. And when you do it, and you build up the energy, and you build the focus of attention, a lot of people use a lot of different techniques for building that focus of attention, but the main thing is the attention. And the allowance of the energy to flow and the buildup of energy. And then when you begin to bend it, the most common way is it becomes soft. The metal does. It feels soft. And when it feels soft, you can just start to move it. And it, you know, and then when you let that energy come back to normal and you try to bend it back, if you really give it a lot of power, well, you can break the thing, but it won't bend in the same way. It's not physical strength that's operating here. There's a real change in the nature of the metal itself. So often this happens with emotion. This is where you get the poltergeist effect. The poltergeist, which is where objects move by themselves, apparently. Only it's not by themselves. There's somebody whose energy is moving them. They may not be conscious of it. Poltergeist almost always occurs in the presence of a frustrated teenager. Some people turn that outward into vandalism. Some people turn it into energy where they don't allow themselves to express it in any other way, and it turns into poltergeist energy. It's possible for it to happen with an older person, but it's usually a teenager. One teenager I worked with was able to, when he learned how to do it consciously, he first of all, it was happening around him. One time he got angry and all the andirons in the fireplace, these big thick iron pieces, just went pew, virtually melted over. Another time he bent all the silverware in the kitchen from a distance because his girlfriend broke a date. He slammed down the phone, crash in the kitchen. And then finally he began to be able to bring it under control. And he used to, this was a period when that was done, so he used to be able to bend keys. But the way this kid did it would be to pick up the key and look at it, and it would just bend over like that by itself. Okay. I watched him do it with a bar of copper once, and one time he broke a little glass jar all the way across the room on the other side of a window. There's a powerful lot of energy there. People do this stuff. This is the same kind of energy that's used in healing work. It's the same kind of energy. When we direct our energy to have an effect, then what's happening is he's directing his energy, let's say, to the key, and the key is beginning to vibrate, and the key then responds to his energy effect by bending. So, well, we can help this in the healing process as well, by helping to free up blocks and allowing the healing to take place on its own. So learning how to develop it and focus it is a good skill. And how can we do this, and how can we demonstrate how the mind itself has this power? Well, we're going to do that. I can find out what I did with everything. I think this would be a good experience for us to do right now. We're going to do something, use something that I like to call the spinner. So if everybody takes one of these cups, and if you like, we can move stuff away from the edge here, and you can use the... Oh, jeez. I quickly have a...
That was mine. Sorry.
It's okay.
We'll get a rag. Excuse me, Kat. I shouldn't have left that there.
Oh, that's okay.
I'm going to get up in a minute. There's no use getting set.
Nice try. Nice try, Marmite. Yeah.
Marmy. Isn't that short for Marmalade?
Marmalade.
I knew a doggy named Marm, and his name was Marmalade. Yeah.
Okay, so you can use the edge of this table, or you can use the floor for these cups. Pass this around. Everybody take a pin.
Excuse me. He's going to come over and see you again.
Yeah, well, I know. I told him not to get settled.
Does everybody get a cup?
Mm-hmm.
Does everybody
I don't
get a cup?
You don't. Yeah, but I don't have a drink.
Thank you.
I don't have a cup. Oh, okay. I'm supposed to materialize a
yeah,
cup,
right? Yeah, that's
right.
You just did.
Good. You see how my coup works?
Yes, he thought cup. I'm the center of gravity. Yeah.
Okay. All right, now, put your cup upside down. And put the pin on top of the cup. Upside down. What happened to the pins? Where'd the pins go?
No, I passed them over to.
Oh, they're over there.
You're going to leap up on my back?
Yeah.
Now, you take this little piece of paper, and we're not going to do anything yet. Take the piece of paper, fold it corner to corner, unfold. So we have a triangle. And open it up. fold the other corner over. Corner to corner. Open it up again, so we have a little bit of a tent. Okay? Looks like that when you're finished.
Okay.
Sometimes it helps. You take the pieces like this. Yeah, right. You fold it in a little bit like that. It makes a nice little tent. And just sit that down. Okay? Now, let's everybody hold hands. Get a sense of going to build up your energy. Do your breathing, pico pico. Imagine your aura. Fill your aura with color, with light, with sparkle, with sound, with excitement, with enthusiasm. We're going to do mind over matter. We're going to move the spinner with our minds. Let yourself feel a little sense of excitement and fun about this. Okay? This is going to be enjoyable. This is going to be fun. This isn't, you know, there's no test, there's nothing like this. But we're going to be able to do this. Isn't that going to be fun? Feel the excitement kind of building up about that. Yeah! All right, let's do it now, and let's have some fun. Now reach out here, pick up your stuff, carefully set it right up on top. Okay. Sometimes you'll find that it'll have a tendency maybe to stick. If it floats, that's better. If it's you want to move out,
does it?
You don't want
it
to touch.
Is it supposed to be resting on the pin?
No, you don't. You're on the pin, yes, but not on the glass.
Okay, that's too sharp.
Okay, now if it's resting too much on the glass, then take up and wipe some water on it. A little bit of maybe a little bit of that sponge might help over here, but because we don't want too much of static electricity. Okay, keep the excitement going on. Then when you get it resting up on top of here. Now you want to move your hands around it.
Shoot, I'm not ready.
Okay.
Wait.
Mine's going
already.
There you go.
Oh.
And move it around.
Why isn't working? No.
It's okay.
I'll let you fix it.
It's all right. It's okay, don't worry.
There she goes.
Now get yourself excited. Make sure it's not resting on top of the glass, because then it can't move. It's got to be not touching the cup. Let me see. I think yours is. Yeah, you need to make yours flatter.
Mine's rocking.
Gravity's
not there. Oh, there she goes.
It is touching to a degree.
Mine is too. May I take mine off and flatten it
out?
Work
on mine. Work on mine, which isn't touching. Have the intention to move it. You can really tell when you're moving it. It may not move always in the direction you want it to. Sometimes you can do it without your hands, as you'll discover as well. It's okay. It's all right. We'll get it. What you've done today is not just learn about this stuff. First of all, you sent information to each other and received it. And you picked it up and you learned how your cool picks up different stuff. You sent pictures, feelings, sensations, and you picked it up. You were able to focus your intentions and your thoughts on a particular part of a room and influence somebody walking in that room as to where they were inclined to go. Right? You have that kind of influence. People have that kind of influence. It's seldom used consciously, and what we want to learn how to do is use it consciously in a positive, healing way. But people do respond to the subconscious influence. You demonstrated that you have the power to do that. Oh, you saw the aura, every one of you. Okay. And not only did you see the aura, but you also had the personal experience of altering yours and understanding the effect of color on yourself and learning that you can send then the color appropriate to the feeling response that you already know that you want to send to others to use in a healing way. You tuned into various objects. You learned how to see. That was very beautiful. Yes, every one of you, in some fashion or another, saw straight through opaque paper. Right? And looked at a postcard. That was hidden. And picked up various aspects of those kinds of things. Right? So you saw that and perceived that. And then you took an object from someone else and saw something about them or about the object, and you all picked up something like that. And then you gave a reading and read somebody's future by doing the same kind of a thing. Each one of you did that. And it was all pertinent. And then you wrote down, and you won't know the effects for a while, but you tuned into a method of divination, and then you did something of creating your own reality a little bit. And finally you really created reality. You had a very direct energy influence on your environment because every one of you, to a degree, moved that object with your mind alone, working through the energy, which physics says, of course, can't be done. And there you did it anyway. Now, all of those psychic skills of various kinds of telepathy, the various kinds of clairvoyance and divination and psychokinesis itself, you all did that. Because you've all got the skills. You all have that power. As you go and practice it, as you learn the other different kinds of things that you know, you can explore and develop these things, get a greater and greater attunement with your environment, and greater attunement with your own self, and use all of this knowledge in a healing way. Do we have any questions about anything that we've done today?
What's the principle of the crystal ball?
The crystal ball, we didn't do something on that. What you're doing, the crystal ball serves as a focal point, just like the psychometry device does. And so when you have your intention focused on the crystal ball, then some people will perceive images very rarely inside the crystal. What usually happens is that as you focus, a kind of a flat projection occurs on the surface of the crystal ball. If you see images, you see images on that. In one of my courses, we use just a circle on a black piece of paper. It works just as well. Some cultures use a pool of water, a glass of water. As I mentioned, my grandmother taught me how to look into the future by looking at the reflection of the sun on a 4-mica kitchen tabletop. Okay. The bright spot only serves as a focal point for your attention, and then your mind takes off and picks up the information according to your intent. So the crystal ball doesn't have to be crystal. Plastic and glass work real fine. Or you can use a drawing, or you can use any other object you choose as something to focus on. The less interesting, the better. And what I mean is that you don't get distracted by details. Like focusing, I could do it by focusing on this little clock here, but that would be much more difficult. It'd be much easier to focus on one of these glasses or a piece of white paper or something like that.
How about tarot, which is more symbolic?
Well, in the same way, what happens with tarot is that you have set up a way of dealing out the cards. So that it's kind of like an alphabet. You focus your intention on a question. You shuffle those cards to give you as much of a randomness. What you're actually doing is giving your ku a chance to mix the cards. Because your ku knows just how much pressure to give so that any particular cards are lined up in a particular sequence. If you shuffle at least 3 times, it gives your ku a chance to line those cards up in a more appropriate way according to what you have in mind as a question. And then you cut them, your ku knows exactly where to cut them so that the very particular card that relates to your question is up on top.
So they're all tools, like the runes and
they're
the
all
I
tools.
Ching.
They're all tools. And your ku is making the muscle manipulations that put the things in order so that the answer comes out corresponding most closely to your question. If you only shuffle it once, it does the best it can. You shuffle it several times, it gives a greater chance to give a more accurate answer. Or if you like to use one card, I use one rune, for instance. The runes are real neat. I just shake up the bag, say, okay, cool, give me a rune. And it's pertinent, because it knows exactly which one to pick, which ones to stick the fingers on. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what's happening is this subconscious portion of your mind knows how to get the information, but it gets that information according to the tools that you give it. And it knows how to sort that out. Any other questions?
On the workshop that you have coming up on Money Mastery, could you just tell us a wee bit about it?
Yeah, you're going to be learning how to be successful at anything you want. Mm-hmm. Okay. We talk about the art of manifesting. We talk about money and money beliefs and getting rid of the ideas of limitation and how to reach those ideas and change them and how to do effective affirmations and effective visualization and some of the very practical ways to manifest for success and get your own blocks and limitations out of the way.
I guess the first thing you have to do is realize what your blocks and limitations are before you can remove them.
We have means of doing that. There's a formula that I've worked out for many, many years that leads right directly to the blocks that you have, so you can know them immediately.
So you can recognize them later on and say, that one's coming back again, we're going to have to deal with that.
Well, so that you'll also learn not only the formula for finding them, but the way to eliminate them. Yeah. So you can use that over and over again if they do come up.
If new ones come up.
Okay. It's hot stuff.
Pardon?
It's hot stuff.
Yeah.
It works. Believe me, it works. One reason why some psychics are so good is they do it a lot. Just like somebody who plays plays concert piano. Why are they so good? Because they practice and they practice and they practice. Well, those psychics who do it a lot, do it for a living especially, practice and practice and practice, and they do it all the time, and they get real good at it. It's like any other skill.
Well, why doesn't meditation itself then occur?
Because meditation itself, there's so many things that people call meditation. Many types of meditation are designed to blank out the mind, not to develop awareness. That may have useful purposes. Let's say transcendental meditation, for instance. Transcendental meditation doesn't develop intuition. It's not designed to. It's designed to focus the mind, to get the body relaxed, and then to have the mind transcend. I'm not sure if you know what their thing is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And transcend means go unconscious for a while. And then you come back, and you've had this, that experience is considered in and of itself beneficial. Okay? But if you're doing something like that without conscious awareness, you can't learn anything that you can use consciously. Meditation is just a way of focusing the mind, and so it all depends on what you're focusing on as to what you develop. I know one woman I worked with for a number of years who was an excellent trans channel. There wasn't much else she could do of value in life, because she didn't gain anything out of it until I started, for the first time, playing tapes back to her. She never heard herself. She had a manager who exploited her, and she had done this stuff for years, come out with some beautiful stuff, but she was unconscious while it was happening. None of it filtered into her daily life. I know another real good chance channel who's done some beautiful spiritual books, and she's an atheist and is very upset, doesn't understand God, doesn't know what it's all about. There isn't necessarily a carryover from that inner mental work. Shamans don't, as a rule, do the unconscious channeling. Okay? There are some who do, and that's fine. But as a rule, we learn how to do it with a bit of consciousness attached, because then we can learn from it. Okay. So when you say meditation, it really means focusing the mind. It depends what you're focusing on. A concert pianist is in meditation when he or she is playing. Okay? Somebody who is an athlete is really in meditation when they're practicing, because their mind is totally focused on what they're doing, and they learn according to what they're focusing on. Well, so if you It's not just meditation that would automatically make things happen, but if you are focusing on receiving intuitive information from somebody, and that's the kind of meditation you're doing, then the more you do that, the better you get at it. If you are meditating on relaxing the body, then you get better and better at relaxing the body. If you're meditating on transcending, then you get better and better at transcending. So you develop what you focus on. Energy flow is where attention goes. And so it's good to have a variety of kinds of meditation that you do for different purposes.
Mm-hmm. It's all that level of concentration.
Mm-hmm. And then the concentration brings its equivalent.
Just as an example, I work with word processors, and I've done typing for many, many years. I'd work a year, I'd take a year off. I'd come back the year after, and I was faster. And it was my level of concentration. I wasn't even actively pursuing it, and it's and now my speed has built up so much that it's
probably real good because you weren't over the course of the year building up resistance to it.
That's right. I'd release it
That's
totally,
right.
Then I'd come back.
And then your concentration was easier because you didn't have the resistance. Burnout it happens to people when they begin resisting what they're doing.
Okay. Or trying to force yourself.
Yeah.
To.
Right. But you learn what you focus on, and you can learn real quick. But stuff doesn't necessarily carry over. A person who chess used to be taught as a means of concentrating. Well, all it really does is teach you how to play good chess. It doesn't necessarily carry over to anything else. All right, we've had a good day.
Mm-hmm.
Learned an awful
mm-hmm.
lot of stuff. I hope you use it in good spirit. Okay, let's gather up and just have a brief little circle here.
You're all shamans. Think of yourself now as a shaman. Whether it's from out of a long tradition you've had in the past or some of your natural affinities in this life, you are a shaman. You're in touch with the forces of nature. You have the powers of mind. Let's use it to heal this planet, to help it grow. Imagine in the center of a circle and the planet Earth. We call the spirit of that Pele. Let us bless this Earth with the power of love. There is an ancient chant, which I'll do for you this time. We'll learn it together as we go along. You can say Om or Aum if you want to. The chant starts out something like that. I'll do this 3 times. Feel the energy build and direct it toward the planet. Aum akvam bhagavo vayola pakkeya maikeyola Aum akvam bhagavo vayola pakkeya maikeyola
Thank you.